This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too. So the ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Here's Speroni, who rolls the ball out to Cannon. He's got options in front of him. He picks out Thomas. This is a nice looking move from Palace. That's a neat ball to Ambrose. There's space on the right. Good turn. He crosses into Johnson. Oh, yes. Back of the nest.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Back of the Nest Preview Podcast. I'm your host, Terence Ford of RedAndBlueArmy.co.uk, and I'm joined by Albert Curley and Chris Hambling to review Southampton, preview Fulham, and talk, well, transfer deadline day, sort of. After a frustrating evening at St Mary's, we focus on referee Andre Mariner, Wilfried Zaha's temperament, and Roy Hodgson's in-game management. Looking ahead to Fulham, how do we fill the Zaha void, and who starts up front drives the conversation. Yes, so here we are, one day recording after Southampton. Probably going to get a lot of frustration coming through. Firstly from, Chris Hamlin coming over to the other side.
Yes, and happy to do so. Delighted, in fact. it's always good to broaden your horizons. You know, just taste what it's like on the other side of the curtain, I guess.
You had a good old time trying to listen stroke watch the game last night.
Yeah, it was fun. I stayed way too late at work because I'm an adult now. Apparently, I have to do my job. Gone are the days where I could spend all day on the internet reading and writing about Palace, so I actually have to do work these days. But so I'm driving back, left work at about 7:15, work in Reading, live in Crawley. Terrible weather, 2-hour drive at minimum. So I'm thinking, okay, before I leave, I'll set myself up nicely, get a little link to the game on the radio, on the iPad, Bluetooth it up, you know, easy. As soon as I go to press play, yeah, the link doesn't work. Pull over on the hard shoulder. It's illegal. Don't do it, kids. But, you know, I'm desperate to find the game. Every link I find doesn't work until I find a wonderful stream that I'm not sure why it exists of two Northerners commentating on a stream of the Palace game. So I took in the first half in some strange circumstances, but got back to watch it in full for the second half. I think I got the rough end of the deal there.
Someone needs to tell Andre Mariner that a hard shoulder is illegal, and then maybe he'll give Wilfried Zaha a free kick.
That is worth a round of applause. Well done.
Yeah.
And that is Albert Curley, as always. Welcome to the show.
Hello, mate.
Yeah, how was your day?
Today? Mate, sketchy, but fine. All good. Nothing wrong.
Is the Kingsman getting so bad they're asking you to star in it now?
Nope. Everything's fine. Everything's fine. And if anyone's listening from that part of the world, everything's fine.
Right, before we go any further, let's start with this.
Damn, I'm thirsty. I want a beer. What about you? You want a beer? I'm going to leave you three to it, man.
It is the last day of dry January for me. And I'm feeling fabulous. I sleep through the night, so I wake up feeling refreshed in the morning. I think beer might be a thing of the past on me, guys.
That's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying, mate. I've had to really cut down for diabetes reasons. That's a proper reason. You, no excuse.
So you're turning beer check, like the Americans say rain check. They say I'll take a rain check on that, meaning I'm going to skip it. So you're flipping the beer check round to mean that you're just not going to do it anymore. Is that right? Is this the new feature?
Well, maybe, but after the game on Saturday against Fulham, friend's birthday, we're going to Broccoli Brewery, so we'll see how long it lasts into February. And on the note, Hambo, of your diabetes and drinking, what are you on?
Well, that is a lovely single malt Bushmills, drinking straight from the bottle because I forgot to put a glass to the side of the computer before we started this, so I got a bit of class, mate.
That is exactly what we expect on this show, Albert.
Do you remember that small American craft beer I was drinking last week?
You're finishing the rest of it off tonight?
Yeah. The Budweiser. Bud? Going to be big next year, kids.
Don't call it a comeback. Right, this week we're going to start with Vicente Guaita's Eminem haircut. Big fan, Albert?
I wouldn't rock it myself, to be honest, but I thought it looked quite good on him. I've got no problems with it if that's how he wants to. You know, we've had some keepers with dodgy barnets before, mainly the Speroni sort of mullet. It's better than that.
And ponytail.
I'm just trying to think of other goalkeepers we've had with suspect hairdos.
Chris Day had the classic 90s curtains.
Yes. And remember, I mean, I know he was only on loan, but Nico Vassin was definitely receding earlier than he should have, something I can now relate to later in life. It makes him stand out, you know.
Hambo, did you ever rock frosted tips like Carlo Nash?
Oh, mate. First of all, you know, talking about hair makes me all sort of nostalgic and misty-eyed because, you know, it's been a while. You mentioned Chris Day's hair. That was my haircut. You know, it was curtains for way too long. You know, I rocked it for that little bit too long. And then it went, basically. But just before it went, I had full-on Kurt Cobain shoulder-length golden hair. Those were the days.
This is a lie, surely.
We need some of these pictures.
I don't know if they even exist. They must do somewhere, I guess. But, you know, it was before the old smartphone revolution, wasn't it? So, I was a bit of a grunger. And that was my look for a while. Yes. I miss it.
That's the second preview show in a row where there's been a Kurt Cobain reference.
Yeah, because you had the Nirvana chat after Ian Wright the other week, didn't you? So, but on Guaita, you know, he's got the locks, so, you know, do what he wants, can't he? Seems to suit him.
Well, quite sure. Hambo, as for your hair, never mind. I'm too good at it. I'm just too good. And also just too good is Alexander Sorloth, 3-3 for Ghent. And he scored a penalty in their cup win in the shootout last night. Albert, you big fan.
I've always liked him. To be honest, that's the first I've heard of it. I haven't, you know, don't take it personally, Alexander. I haven't made a habit of sort of keeping tabs on him. So, but hey, good for him. You know, like, you know, if he's found his level and he can impress, and I'm being deadly serious, you know, maybe there's still a future for him.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for him. I hope he scores some goals. And, you know, he's still very young. He can improve out there. We was all saying he needed some time in the Championship, and that's probably what the Belgian Premier League is, around that sort of level. So, yeah, it's going to be good for him to get some game time. Hambo, you see he's getting some competition now in that league as Bolasie's gone to Anderlecht on loan?
Yeah, I did see that, you know. A lot of people, you know, she saw the link for Bolasie to come back to us. Mixed reaction to that, wasn't there? You know, I always found him the most entertaining of players. And you know, it soured a bit when he left, but I'd have gladly have had him back in the side, just, you know, off the bench. And of course, it would have been off the bench with Roy, wouldn't it, for the first sort of 10, 15 games that we had him.
Maybe.
last 5 minutes. But it's interesting to see, you know, on Sorloth as well. It's, you know, dare I suggest going to play for a manager who knows him, getting his confidence up, because he was devoid of confidence, wasn't he? No movement in the last game he played for us. That's basic stuff. And you've got to ask the question, you know, how many strikers playing under Roy have lost confidence and the ability to score goals?
Wow, that is food for thought right there. Someone who might be coming off the bench and, well, our only real bit of business in this transfer window, if you go by Roy's comments, is Bakary Sakho. Were you happy to see him come back, Hambo?
Yes, I guess. I wasn't angry like some people were. You can see the logic in it, can't you? Because, you know, if by all accounts, we wanted him to stay anyway, but we were very concerned about, no, you know, we've got his past injury record. And the recovery from the ankle damage at the end of his spell with us. So clearly we offered a contract that reflected our concerns. But now he's fit and available. And the suggestion is Roy was very happy to get him back in the squad. Let's see when he gets used. But let's face it, you know, he was one of the few people last season who looked clinical in his best spell. So, you know, you don't want to turn away a player. Who knows the system, knows the players, and can actually put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, it probably makes a lot of sense for over Balassi in that sense that he knows him, and I think that's been talked about a lot. It'll be interesting to see how he gets on, how he's recovered from that injury. Obviously, he didn't break into the West Brom team, which is, I guess, a little bit surprising. You would have thought that he scored a lot of goals at that level. Maybe it's just playing for Wolves in the past. He just found that he couldn't do it. But I don't know. But Albert, no other news in the transfer window. Are you expecting anything before 11 o'clock?
For us signing players, I mean, a lot could happen between now and 11 o'clock, but it's not going to be Crystal Palace making any sort of signing, is it?
It's going to be you drinking three Budweisers.
I've only got one left, actually, which is, you know, taking the shine off my evening. If we were to make another signing, I would be... if we make another signing for 11 o'clock, we should come back and record another bit, because obviously it's not 11 o'clock yet. That's how confident I am that it won't happen. I will get out of bed and record more to review it if you want.
So listeners, it's currently 8:55 on transfer deadline day as we're recording. So if all of a sudden we yelp with surprise during this show, you'll know it will mean that we've signed someone. Right, we'll finish that there. And when we come back, we're going to talk about that very, very frustrating evening at St Mary's.
Back of the Nest Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad drive back last night. It was very icy and stuff and a little bit dangerous, but got back reasonably early, which dwindled away some of my frustrations of last night. But I'm still 70% frustrated, Hambo. How about you?
It's very hard to not be frustrated, isn't it? Because, you know, I think I even posted after the game last night that a point away from home in the Premier League should never be sort of sneered at. It, generally speaking, it's usually a pretty good result. But, you know, the frustration that exists has built over a long period of time. But more importantly, it's, you know, you can point to the exact same things, can't you? I mean, you've travelled all the way there. You've seen a decent Palace performance for a lot of the game. And, you know, we've hit the hour mark. The system we've got has become a little ineffective. We're not holding the ball high up the pitch. We've got options on the bench to change it. Southampton have used theirs, yet we don't react. We concede a goal, effectively throwing away a couple of points based on, you know, what you'd feel we deserve from the game. So how can that frustration dissipate when you see it every week? It's not a one-off. So I'm finding it tough to let go of it. I'm trying to be pragmatic. I'm trying to be a little bit more positive than I was and not get dragged down into the sort of mire of social media. But, you know, I'm struggling sort of game to game for the frustration to subside before the next match. It's lucky we went that win against Tottenham, really, that just took the edge off.
Yeah, I'm also delighted that the Doncaster game has been announced for Sunday 4 p.m. because I can now make it. Hurrah. So, be heading up there. Very, very long journey from where I'm going to be, which I can't say at the moment because it's for something that I can't say because the person's listening. So,
where are you taking me? Come on, where are you taking me?
I'm taking you to Donny, mate. No, Albert, you shared the frustrations from last night?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. I think before the game, given Southampton's sort of recent turnaround under the new guy, if you'd have offered me a point, I probably would have reluctantly taken it and erred on the side of caution. But like you say, first half, we sort of dominate and you know, go ahead at the break. And, yeah, it sort of just very steadily went downhill. You know, not drastically poor, but, you know, we just allowed them to grow into the game. And as Chris has said, you know, didn't react to what they did. I can see why, you know, Connor Wicker might not be an option, but, you know, I didn't see any reason why we couldn't have made a change up top for the last even 15 minutes just to give us some sort of outlet and get the ball held up, because, you know, punting it long for Zaha and hoping that he's going to beat three or four players, which we you know, we've kind of been relying on for the last however many games, you know, it ended up in, you know, him getting, you know, consistently fouled, which the referee, which I'm sure we'll come on to, didn't really address. And it's, you know, it's ended up in, you know, spilling over and him getting sent off, which is a shame. You know, it was sort of, that only compounded the frustration, really.
It's left a lot of people questioning Roy Hodgson's in-game management. I think that's been the phrase of the last 24 hours on Crystal Palace Twitter, that's for sure. Hambo, I don't know if you noticed, we're at half-time, if games finished at half-time, we'd be sixth in the league.
Wow. Yep, seen the half-time table, 40 points. We'd be safe already. If you look at that actual table as well, because obviously it's important to consider context, right? So if you look at that table, and around us are teams in a similar position, you can think, well, that's just the nature of football. That's, you know, so let's say, for example, well, not Fulham, but let's say someone like West Ham are fourth in the, for the, you know, in that table as well. You start thinking, well, look, it's statistics. I don't really mean anything. A game lasts 90 minutes, but we're surrounded by all the top teams, basically. And it just goes to show you that it's just further evidence we can't react to change. Now, you could argue that it's not necessarily Roy's fault, because it's the restrictions of the squad. You know, we're playing teams that have better options. They can change it and we have no way of reacting. That might be one way of looking at it. But, I, you know, over the course of, how many games is it we played? 24, is it? 25 now, maybe? You know, the pattern is there for all to see. And I think it's just cost us, isn't it? I can't explain it away for Roy. And it's his doing. It's his decisions. He's reluctant to change. And he doesn't like being challenged on it either. Mm. You know, you look at all the times in the post-match press conferences, or even some of the pre-match stuff, where people start questioning selection. You know, they ask him, why isn't Max Meyer playing? He's straight away, he's almost on the attack when he gets questioned.
Well, let's not take the piss here.
yeah, exactly. Exactly that, you know. And it's worrying, isn't it? You can look at that in two ways, can't you? You can actually say, well, that's how close we are to being a good side, and you know, and try and take it as a positive. But I think, again, emphasises the frustration, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think what really frustrated me last night was the change that he made, taking off Kouyaté, who could have been injured, might not have been injured, but it was bringing on Schlupp as opposed to bringing on Max Meyer. And I guess it's the outlooks on games. And how the game was going, to me, it looked like Southampton were starting to commit more men forward. They tried to get more men in midfield, more men in wide areas, which is where the goal eventually came from. And it was very, very clear that they was leaving loads of spaces, and we just needed someone to link the midfield to the attack one time, and we would have been able to break away, get a decent chance and score, because IU was doing really, really, really well pressing high up the field, and we were going to create a chance if we could just have a little bit of extra link in midfield. And to me, it just screamed out for Max Meyer just to be able to get on the ball and fill that void which Southampton were leaving us in the sort of middle areas of the pitch. But he brought on Jeffrey Schlupp more just for his pace, I guess. And I suppose he's done okay in recent weeks in centre mid. But why have we spent all those money on wages on Max Meyer? Everyone, barring Roy, it seems, has been in the main impressed with Meyer. And, you know, he got his goal against Liverpool the other week. He looked really good against Spurs at points. Again, in a team that was set up to counter-attack as that game against Southampton was becoming. And I just felt it was screaming out for him. But there you go. Hodgson went for Schlupp instead, and then just left it at that. Like, Ayew looks like he was really tired. And Benteke, Albert, 5-10 minutes, something like that. You know, he's trying to get back to fitness. He needs some minutes on the pitch, and screaming out for a big man to hold it up for us.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I thought Schlupp, you know, like you say, Schlupp did well against Spurs and looked good, you know, as did Max Meyer. But as you, again, as you're saying, we were crying for somebody to come out, get a foot on the ball and, you know, try and find pacey players like Zaha and Townsend and put them through. We didn't need to inject another burst of pace into the team, which is, you know, arguably, you know, Schlupp's greatest asset is that he's quick, but, you know, he's not a great passer of the ball. He's not going to receive the ball, you know, just outside our area, get his head up and look for it to exploit a space that Zaha or Townsend's running into. So yeah, for me, it would have been get Max on, try and get a foot on the ball. And, you know, even more, yeah, get Benteke on and try and get the ball 30 yards up the pitch to him to see if he could hold it up and, you know, and get Zaha and Townsend in and around him. But it just seemed to be a get Schlupp on because he's quick. But I don't see why we needed more pace when, you know, if he'd have taken Townsend or Zaha off, I'm not saying I've understood it, but it would have made more sense. But it just didn't seem to make any sort of, you know, there's no logic to it.
You know, the only thing I would say on it is if he's trying to go like for like, I mean, first of all, you'd say, well, bring on Meyer and then push McArthur back would be probably the better option if you're thinking about going and taking advantage of what you've talked about, Terence, which is, you know, the opportunity to get two goals ahead. You know, and it's interesting Roy mentioned that in his comments. He sort of maligned the fact we didn't get a goal ahead. Well, he's thinking defensively, isn't he? And if you look at the goal we conceded, look at what happens with Jeffrey Schlupp. You know, and the whole team, don't get me wrong, it's the whole team defends exceptionally narrow. So Ward-Prowse is free on that right-hand side for, you know, a good 2 minutes before he ends up tapping in. And he's screaming for the ball. And, you know, a couple of people have said, well, you know, it's Wilf's man, he hasn't tracked back. But we'd done this thing of switching almost to a 4-4-2 without the ball, going really, really narrow. So if you look, Schlupp is the furthest left of the central midfielders, but he's in the middle of the pitch. And he ends up standing, marking the 6-yard box on it. You know, I'm pretty sure the 6-yard box isn't going to score. and then he gets all upset and starts, you know, stressing out. But he has to get his head up and look at the actual danger, the actual players. But I think, unfortunately, Roy's attitude is very much one of this is the system, this is how we're going to play, rather than actually looking at the opponents. And we completely failed to negate Southampton's changes, which were getting players wide, getting the overlaps going, and just pushing us. And that's where we failed. And unfortunately for Jeffrey Schlupp, he was a big part in that.
Yeah, we certainly aren't going to score in a 6-yard box. I mean, Connor Wickham was the first player to do that for us this season. And that was in the cup. We have 0 goals in the 6-yard box in the league. And every other team has at least 2. So, right, let's move on to Andre Mariner. Arguably, there could be as many as 3 straight red card challenges in this game, for my money. The Stevens one on Townsend, I think that's an absolute undebatable stone red card. The one on Townsend just before Zaha scores is completely out of control, studs up through his ankle, and they certainly didn't touch much of that on Match of the Day. And the one on Zaha when he's breaking away and the guy just flies through and basically body checks him into a crumpled heap on the ground. Could be as many as 3. Albert, what can Mariner have any excuse for his performance?
No, not really. I think, unfortunately, the decisions that he got most correct, for want of a better term, was the Zaha sending off. Which is a cruel sort of twist of irony. But yeah, I mean, my perfectly legal stream was a little bit in and out, so I didn't see all of those challenges to which you're referring. But yeah, the body check on Zaha is, I don't get it. You know, I really don't get it. I know it's not particularly malicious, but you know, it speaks for itself. But yeah, he's not had a great day at the office, Mariner. And unfortunately, like I say, the only thing he's kind of got right resulted in us getting, you know, put down to 10 men.
Yeah, Hambo, there's that side-by-side video being going around today of Zaha getting called up for the exact same challenge on James Ward-Prowse that James Ward-Prowse doesn't get called up from on Zaha.
Yeah, and then that's why Wilf loses his head, okay? And you can, you know, obviously he knows he shouldn't, but that's why. It's that... inconsistency. And look at, you know, so for the first challenge you mentioned, look at where Mariner is for that challenge.
Yeah.
You know, there's nobody between him. He's 15 yards maximum from it, looking directly at it, and he waves play on. You know, I'm not going to try and pronounce the manager's name, Ralph, because I've been drinking whiskey. But his comments after the game were, oh, look at Wan-Bissaka's challenge on the right-hand side. I can't remember who it was on now. And he's, you know, that, but Wan-Bissaka got a booking for that, and it was a foul.
Yeah, and you know, and there was no lunge. It was a standing challenge where you just stretched a tiny bit too far. It wasn't, I'm going to run, jump in from yards away with my studs up.
Bang on, yeah. And look how far Stevens just slid afterwards as well. He could, if you put four Palace players in a line, he'd have fouled them all. it's incredibly, incredibly poor from the referee. Mm. And without that kind of, you know, appalling refereeing, what happens later doesn't happen. You know, if the guy does his job properly, Wilf doesn't lose his head. Mm. And, you know, we're the ones who suffer. And, you know, Wilf's going to get an extended ban for that. And what happens to Stevens? Nothing, because the ref seen it and decided to ignore it.
Nothing to Stevens, nothing to Romelu, who I think could have been sent off twice. I think he did enough to get two bookings and enough to get a straight red card. I thought he was
a
complete thug in the middle of the park. And then, of course, match of the day, particularly Alan Shearer, again went down the line of he should take it as a compliment, which is just bollocks. Sorry for my language. Just, I'm not having it. It's not a compliment. It isn't the 90s, 80s, 70s anymore. It's 2019, and you know there's too much money involved, and these players' careers are on the line, etc., etc. So no, it's not to be taken as a compliment. The referee should do his job. And I was really
getting wiped out by a position, having an opposition player pretend to throw the ball in your face, having the same player spit at your feet.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, very complimentary.
Yeah, exactly right. And you know, I was glad to hear Roy Hodgson say players shouldn't be expected to behave like saints all the time. excuse the pun, Roy, for you. But he's been kicked constantly all game, constantly all season, constantly for 9 years now. And he is the most fouled player in the Premier League. And he gets what, maybe 2/3 of the fouls he should get? So he's still the most foul player in the Premier League, and referees have this agenda against him, and they seem to only give the fouls that they absolutely have to give for him. And it's just, I'm surprised he doesn't snap more. But what needs to happen now is, and probably should already be happening, is Luka was over there after the fact, where Mile Jednak would have certainly been there as soon as it was happening. And this is probably a thing of, you know, Mile Jednak was there from Zaha's second season as a pro, and he would have, you know, demanded respect from Zaha, and Zaha basically did exactly what Mile told him to do all of the time. Obviously, it's a bit different with Luka and Zaha now, because Zaha's a fully, you know, developed pro and is the superstar of the team, and Luka's only come in a couple of years ago, so perhaps, you know, Wilf maybe wouldn't have as much, not respect, but wouldn't listen to him as much as a captain as he would have Mile. But you know, at that point there, Luka should have been over straight away. He should have sniffed out the problem and gone over there and got Zaha out of there, because that's certainly what Mile Jednak would have done. Right, man of the match, Albert.
Andre Mariner, no, probably Townsend for me.
Mm. Hambo?
I'm struggling. You know, it's okay. First of all, you know, as I said, I didn't see all of the first half, so I only have the opinion of some strange northern men. I've obviously watched it all back. Second half wasn't our best, so I have trouble talking about who was good at all. But, you know, again, Townsend, full of energy, full of quality, very good. And I suppose, you know, he got the goal and he was a menace all day. So Wilf had a good game up until the sending off that ruined it. But, you know, other than that, I can't really say, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to go with the Jordan Ayew. He battled tirelessly up front in that first half, particularly wasn't getting much help. He intercepted the ball many times. He caught them in possession many times, particularly because they were lackluster on the ball. But yeah, really tireless performance from him, and he just lacked that bit of quality at the end. But I think we know that is kind of becoming that Fraser Campbell mold or the Cameron Jerome mold, you know, like runs around a lot, puts in great effort and et cetera, but the end product just isn't there. But I think it was certainly one of his better, well, probably his best performance in a Palace shirt. So that will give Roy an excuse not to start Benteke or Wicker on Saturday against Fulham. And after this short break, when we come back, we'll be talking about the Fulham game.
Back of the Nest Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Back of the Nest Match Preview Podcast. www.backofthenest.com.
He's got it through to Jeff Schlupp. Oh, brilliant! And the Eagles strike first. And Zaha around the keeper. Will Zaha surely set fair for an opening day victory?
Commentary there from our opening day victory at Craven Cottage. Jeff Schlupp opened the scoring and Wilfried Zaha put the game to bed in the second half after brilliant work from Aaron Wan-Bissaka, holding off Mitrovic. Little shimmy past Ryan Sessegnon and that through ball. Wonderful, wonderful. And Wilf rounded the goalkeeper and slotted it home. And I think it's with Wilf where we start and, well, I guess how we fill the void. Hambo, is it a switch in formation or is it a straight swap?
I think logic would suggest to me that one of the two benched strikers, possibly, I think more likely Wickham, because he's started a game recently, will come in and play central and Ayew will go out to where Zaha plays. That's what I think Roy will do. It depends a lot on the fitness of Sacco. He might be an option to come as a straight swap for Wilf, you don't know. But that's what I would go with. Well, no, that's what I predict Roy will go with, will be the former.
But what about you? Do you see something like that? Or maybe Jeff Schlupp going out there?
You've got it in one, baby. I see Jeff Schlupp getting the nod, shall we say, and playing a bit wider. Yeah. I'd really like Benteke or Wickham to start, I'd be disappointed if the front three is, and this is no dig on Andros Townsend, George and Ayew and Jeffrey Schlupp, that would be quite upsetting, but not surprising.
Yeah, I think he's probably settled on a 4-3-3 now, and I reckon Wickham will get the nod, and either way, if it's Schlupp or Ayew that goes out there, I don't think Sacco's anywhere near match fit at the moment, so I doubt he'll be getting a run out on Saturday, but we'll obviously be a bit more solid defensively on that side, and it will allow, you know, Ayew or Schlupp to be a bit more defensive, and with Wickham on the field, who I think it will be, he'll be able to hold the ball up in a much better fashion than Ayew can, so it gives them more time to get back. So I think Fulham will find it really tough to score against us on the weekend. I think it will be the same shape pretty much. Tompkins, he could be injured. It felt like a very bizarre substitution inside the stadium. There was no sign that he was hurt. And James Tompkins also looked very baffled on the side of the pitch when he came off. Because, you know, changing your back four when you're under the cosh with 5 minutes to go doesn't seem like the greatest plan. Was there anything they were saying on the stream, Hambo?
No, there was. I mean, the way Tompkins walked off, you would suggest that there's a knock or he's playing with a bit of pain maybe. And he was just being protected a little bit. But at the same time, Roy isn't averse to a trolling sub, is he? You know, particularly if you sing the name of a player, that player will stay on that bench and he will put Jeffrey Schlupp on.
Why don't we sing Jeffrey Schlupp's name, for God's sake?
Well, that's where we need to be a bit smarter, don't we? You know, people wear their hearts on their sleeves in that crowd too much. Be devious, you know.
Well, there was someone in the crowd was singing Hodgson make a sub, which we also did at Wolves just before Ayew scored to make it 1-0. And Roy did sort of turn down the sideline and look at the fans and shake his head. I personally think it's a stupid song to be singing. There's no point. Let him do his job. Whether you're thinking he's doing it badly or not is not one I don't think to be doing, you know, considered to be your most loyal supporters, whatever, travelling down on a Wednesday night in the freezing cold, giving you loads of abuse in the crowd. I don't think that's what we should be doing at away games. Would you have been singing it, Albert, or just Jeffrey Schlupp's name?
No, I wouldn't have been. It's football managers are football managers for a reason. They don't listen to what us mere mortals say. But I thought he'd gone full Pardew. I thought he was bringing on Scott Dan to lump him up front. But alas, no, didn't roll back the years and bang
one in. Was it Frank
de
Boer who put him up front at Burnley, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, man. Harsh. We narrowly
and then
lost
he missed the
game.
Absolute sitter.
What a back pass. Oh, mate, stop it. Poor old Frank.
What could have been, eh? Well, if it is Ayew who plays out left, Hambo, that gives Hodgson the opportunity to perhaps give Patrick Van Aanholt what needs to be a well-earned rest, I think.
Yeah. PVA hasn't been doing bits for a while. let's face it.
Going through a sticky patch.
Yeah, very much so, yeah. He's done really well
PVA
for us.
Glue.
Yeah, no, we got it. We got it, Albert. We got it. It's just a lot of people have made that similar joke. We respect you. You're a guy with a good sense of humour. You're creative. That was beneath you, and we tried to just move through it. But
I'm two Budweisers down, mate. Yeah, nothing's beneath me.
Fair play. Now, look, I think we've all, you know, PVA's always had that, hasn't he? That suspect defensive side to his game. And now he's not getting forward like he was. You know, it's not that long ago he's popping up in the right-hand side of the penalty area and things like that. And when he's full-flowing on form like that and he's occupying, you know, the opposition winger who's got to try and follow him, he makes a real impact on the team. But I don't know what's happened, whether it's the lack of form or he's been told, you know what I mean, stop wandering, stop doing that, play as left-back. And I don't think that suits him. I think he has to be given that... that freedom to do what the hell he wants to a point. And everyone,
I really
and everyone
like your
is...
professional football speech there.
I know, but you know what I mean? You need to cover his deficiencies is what I'm getting at. Don't just leave him to his own devices. Let him do what he does naturally. And that's where, look against Southampton. You bring Jeffrey Schlupp on the pitch. You think that's perfect because PVA has been struggling. Get someone in there who also plays left back on the left-hand side midfield and properly cover him, cover those deficiencies. But that's not what happened. I think, you know, maybe Schlupp deserves a turn at left back or maybe we look elsewhere in the squad. I don't know.
So your suggestion is to clog up the left-hand side with left backs?
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah. As many left backs as we can get. Tyrick Mitchell's just signed a new contract. Get him in.
Well, I'd personally have Patrick Van Aanholt doing the oranges at half time. Right, that's enough Netherlands puns, I think. Right, predictions. Albert, are Fulham going to score?
Probably, yeah.
They did score against Brighton, didn't they?
Just a few. Yeah, that's a real sort of mixed bag of a result, isn't it? Because you sort of think, Brighton got smashed. And then you think, oh no. That means Fulham are 3 points closer to us. I was hoping for a draw in that one, probably. But I hope they're not finding a run of form. Let's put it that way. But we're at home. So
what's the score going to be?
It's going to be, I think we'll scrape it 2-1.
And you can't say Wilfried Zaha is going to score.
I can, but it is impossible. Who's going to... Luca penalty and James MacArthur going to dive and somehow end up scoring.
God, he dived again on Wednesday night.
I know. He's bad, isn't he?
He's a naughty boy. I haven't seen a Match of the Day feature on him yet, but he certainly dives way more than any footballer I've ever seen at Crystal Palace. Hambo, what's the score going to be?
Well, can I first give you a prediction from Nav?
Okay.
He says, we will lose 1-0. Mitrovic will score. Fans will lose their S. And the cashless thing at Selhurst won't work. That's Nav's prediction. Thought I'd get there.
I thought that meant administration.
Yeah, everyone did.
Yeah, or a reflection of the transfer window. Yeah.
It does. It means all of those things. It's just we're being consistent. I've got real concerns. I've got to be honest with you. As a prediction goes, I think it'll be 1-1, and I think it will be an unpleasant post-match place on social media once again. I think we'll go ahead. I'm going to go Luka penalty, but I think they will get it back after making some sensible changes in the second half and we completely fail to react to it. And Sessegnon will pop up at the far post and not win him.
I'm going to be way more optimistic than all of you. And I'm going to go as many as 3-0 Palace. I think it's going to be one of those weird scenarios that despite your best player not playing, it sort of makes you focus on the basics a little bit more. We'll have Connor Wickham in the middle. We'll just concentrate on getting crosses into the box. And I think we'll cause them loads of problems. And Scott Dan's looked good. So if Tompkins is injured, then I'm not too worried about him coming in. He looks to have hit the floor running. So yeah, we've got to remember that Fulham are largely very, very bad. So it's the perfect opportunity for us to now just, extend that further a bit away from the relegation zone. It could be as much as 7 points if we win that game. So, it's a really important time to get a result as well for FA Cup progression. Getting that draw against Doncaster is huge. If we can go there and win, which is obviously going to be a very difficult tie, but if we can go there and win, we're in a quarter final and it's just, there's going to be at least one championship side, probably two, maybe even a League One side, going into that quarterfinal as well. So I think it's important that we get away from there as quick as possible. You keep flashing your hand at me, Dirty Bertie.
I'm sorry. I know, just rewinding a little bit, I know you've not drunk for the best part of a month and you're predicting that we're going to score three goals at home. That's normally the sort of thing you do when you've been drinking too much.
I've been drinking too much lemon and ginger tea with splashes of honey.
Oh, you animal.
From outside of Back of the Nest, we've had Nathan Jones says a good opportunity for Benteke and Wickham to start and get scoring. Two winnable games at home coming up, even without Wilf. Mike Scott has said, are you man of match performance, a brace and setting up a third?
He drinks super tenants, doesn't he? That's what I'm talking about. That's the prediction you make when you are drinking too much.
And Sam Hesketh, who is at a rap gig tonight, apparently, a French rap gig.
Oh, he's so cool.
He said
edgy.
He's not on holiday like you always are. I predicted a win before Wilf got sent off. We'll definitely lose now, unsurprisingly there. Right, we'll be back after this short message.
Hi, Preview Show listeners. This is Chris Hammond here. You've just heard me guest on this wonderful show. Really enjoyed myself with Terence and Albert today. And I imagine you've really enjoyed my contribution. So if you want to hear more, head over to the Review Show. We record on a Sunday. It's out on Sunday night. And we get into the meat and drink, if that's a phrase. I don't know, I've had too much whiskey. But if that's a phrase, that's what we do on a Sunday. And it'll be out Sunday night. Enjoy it. Take it on your commute. Get angry about it and message us during the week and then tell me you're not going to listen anymore. You're only going to listen to the Preview Show like the guy did the other week. Cheers!
Right, that's almost your lot for this week. Review Show, Sunday as normal. So that will be late Sunday night in your inboxes, ready for you to listen on your way to work on Monday morning. Saturday morning, there's a pretty good thing going on at Craven Cottage. Hambo, fill us in.
Yeah, there's a walk being done. Any those of you that listened to the Love Sports show a couple of weeks back, Paul Price, a well-known Palace fan, the Homesdale Cravatics himself, and Lee, who's a Fulham fan, were on the show pretty well, the whole show, talking about, you know, they've got experience of both got experience of mental health issues, and specifically it's about male suicide prevention. And they chose, rather than do a sort of charity walk and try and raise money, that's not what it's about. It's about raising awareness. So they've appealed to both sets of supporters to come and join them to walk from Craven Cottage, you know, to Selhurst Park. And I think there's 70 or 80 people going, which is a massive amount of people for a kind of spur of the moment decision like that to try and do something. The foundation have got behind it. I think Fulham chairman put some money towards Lee's cause. It's been really well supported. So again, it's possibly a bit late in the day for people to get involved. I'm not sure. I'm sure you can be accommodated if you message Paul or Lee on Twitter. I think Paul is at HC015 and Lee is at MatchWornShirt1. Check out their feeds if you want to get involved, or just retweet their messages and try to get this subject, which is very close to their heart and just not talked about enough. And just try and support it as best you can and share that knowledge.
Yeah, certainly. That's all of our Twitter accounts have been retweeting it as well, so you can find it there. And if you want to go down and feel that you can walk for a few hours before a game with a nice tasty Palace Ale waiting for you at the end. Oh, tasty. It's definitely changed. It's definitely, it used to be nice. But we won't go into that. Otherwise, Steve Parish might leave the Brexit conference and come and tell me off. Hambo, thanks for joining. Pleasure having you on.
Yeah, loved it, mate. Loved it.
And Albert, as always, we love you.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll take it at face value. I love you too.
Not as much as you love General Levy, though.
Wicked.
Jungle is massive. Right. So we'll be back next week. Who have we got? Is it West Ham after that? I don't even know these days.
When's United? United? West Ham? Is it
what? West Ham and Leicester away, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, I think that's right. So we'll be back next Thursday, normal time, to preview that inevitable annual defeat to West Ham at home, or something along those lines. And yeah, that's it. So until the next time, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee, and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport, powered by fans.